This is Sheila Winstead speaking on behalf of Roswell County Historical Society. Last week I told you about Vernon Pick, Warroad native, who became a multi-millionaire by mining uranium. Vernon had left Warroad as a teenager with ambition and curiosity and worked at Electronic Endeavors before his own business in the Royalton area burned up. He received an insurance settlement and used it to finance his next project of finding uranium to mine. The country was just over World War II and the Korean War was looming, and there was a need for a fusion element. The Reader's Digest carried an article in 1957 or 58 describing the hardships suffered by Pick during that time. Another article from an unidentified publication was also included in the Vernon Pick family file at the Roswell County Museum. It tells in great detail just how precarious his time was leading up to his discovery of uranium. Between the date his mill near Royalton, Minnesota burned down in 1951 and the down payment was made on the sale of his mine in 1954. I'll share some of the amazing details from that article. His self-sustaining business in a rebuilt old abandoned flour mill at Two Rivers near Royalton had become successful, doing a substantial mail order trade in rewound motors and auto generators. On another floor was a woodworking shop turning out maple and birch furniture for sale, and his daughter Virginia ran a job printing plant in another sector. His wife Ruth canned fruit and vegetables from the gardens and orchards. Vernon employed half a dozen nearby farm boys as helpers, and he was making a good living and had leisure time that gave him plenty of time to read. Then the fire burned down the mill. The insurance settlement gave them enough to buy some equipment to travel, and they heard about the uranium boom when they got to Colorado Springs. Knowing little about mining, he did what he often did, which was learn from books, and took the advice of someone at the Atomic Energy Commission office that Utah would be the place to start. Hanksville, Utah was a remote enough place in itself, and Mr. Pick spent some time listening to the locals tell about their struggles and picked up a few bits of information to get started. He started making solo forays into the desert, driving as far as a road or trail went, then setting up camp and carrying his equipment in a backpack, looking for the type of rock formations that might lead to uranium ore deposits on the Colorado Plateau. Vernon learned by trial and error and with the advice of geologists the practical knowledge he needed. He gradually began to look the part of a prospector, tanned and dirty, but confident that the next time he went out he'd strike it rich. He took many two-week forays, even being followed by mountain lions and bitten by a scorpion between his shoulders one night while asleep. He had no other option but to hope that he would live through the night, which he did, and went on with his prospecting in the morning. He saw so many rattlers that he lost his fear of them, but not his respect for them. Alone in the desert, he had plenty of time to contemplate life, finding a dinosaur skeleton on a mesa top, and later finding a large shiny object glinting in the sun. He saw it from a distance and imagined a flying saucer as he walked toward it. Upon reaching it, he realized that it was an extra wing tank discarded by an Air Force jet during exercises over the plateau. Vernon's wife Ruth was living in Grand Junction, Colorado in the trailer they had bought with their insurance settlement. He would make trips there every few weeks to get some rest and time with Ruth after days alone in the desert with no one to talk to. She got used to him being home for a few days at a time and said she didn't worry about him because she didn't know what he was up against until she went with him at Christmas and they lived out there for a few weeks in the desert. After that, she worried about him, knowing he could be dying at any time. He kept taking his forays until June of 1952. They evaluated their finances and determined that they had only enough money left to buy gasoline and food for a trip to the West Coast, where they could possibly find work. He decided to go out one more time first, which he agreed would have to be the last time. On the rim of a mesa, he could see a place he wanted to explore. He got his truck stuck on a sandbar and had to spend a day carrying rock to build a roadway on which to back up. He smashed a finger in the process. By dark, he had freed the truck and drove back to his old camp near the mesa. He spent days traipsing up canyons with no success. There was one more he wanted to explore, but it would require a 15-mile walk. His backpack weighed 65 pounds, including his scintillometer and prospector's pick and full canteens of water. He had a difficult time having to cross and recross the river he was following. His feet were gashed on stones in the river when he didn't wear his boots, but the skin became soft and blistered when he wore them. The blisters broke and sand and silt worked their way into his skin. He had to stop now and again and dig the sand out with a matchstick. He said the pain was severe, but within a few minutes of walking again, his feet became numbed and they didn't hurt as much. I'll tell more of Vernon Pick's story next week. Thanks to Wild 102 for this time to tell our county stories.